In the second tone, O house of Ephrathah.
O house of Ephrathah.
The holy city.
This is part two of the story of humanity. God did not abandon the humans in their plight. He selected out from all humanity a lineage descending from Adam through his son Seth and his descendant Noah and his direct family, the only few to survive the flood, and then down further to Abraham. He chose to work with Abraham and made a promise to be his God and the God of his descendants. God worked with Abraham's descendants, Isaac and Jacob. God selected Jacob to be the father of his chosen people and gave Jacob a new name, Israel, and continued working his divine plan through the descendants of the 12 sons of Israel. He gave the law to Moses to teach his chosen people how to live a life of righteousness, knowing it would lead some to trust in God and to do his will. God worked with his people, who came to be called the Jews, through judges, prophets, kings, priests, and righteous men and women throughout centuries to finally produce a woman pure enough to help him complete his principal acts of salvation. This woman was Mary. When Mary was just 3 years old, her elderly parents presented her to the temple in accordance with the Mosaic law. But unlike anyone ever before, they left her there to live as a child in the temple. She was fed and protected by angels until her early teens. She was completely untarnished by the world and remained completely pure. When the appointed time had come, God sent the archangel Gabriel to Mary to explain her role in fulfilling God's plan to save mankind. She accepted, and in that instant, she conceived by the Holy Spirit a new human child who was also the pre-eternal Son of God. This child was fully human with a body and a soul, the Son of Mary, and was also fully divine, the Son of God, in the same person. In a way similar to the fashioning of Eve from a part of Adam, the Son of God fashioned for himself a body and a soul from a part of Mary, so that it would have the same human nature as Mary and all mankind. In the person of Jesus, human nature and the divine nature were united and coexisted in perfect communion while remaining distinct. The Son of God, perfect God, became a perfect human, starting out as an embryo and developing in Mary's womb as humans do, while also remaining unchanged in his divinity. God provided a human protector for Mary, Joseph, who agreed to betroth her, and who remained faithful to her even after discovering she was pregnant. God sent an angel who explained to Joseph in a dream what had happened, and he accepted it. Joseph and Mary were required by imperial decree to appear in Bethlehem to register for the census. When they arrived, Mary was ready to give birth, but they could not find an appropriate place, so they made do in a manger built to shelter animals. It was in this humble setting that Mary gave birth to Jesus. Angels announced to nearby shepherds that the Anointed One, Christ the Lord, their Savior, was born in the city of David. God had arranged some time before the birth of Jesus to send an angel in the guise of a star to three particularly wise rulers of a non-Jewish people far to the east, who studied the stars. These three were lured by the strangely appearing star on a long journey to Jerusalem, where the angel taught them of a king to be born of the Jews who was worthy of worship. The star disappeared when they arrived at Jerusalem, and so, not knowing where to go, they sought an audience there with King Herod. They told Herod of the star that led them there and asked him where they could find the newly born king of the Jews. Herod did not know, but became troubled at hearing this news, fearing a contender for his throne. And so Herod sent for the chief priests and scribes to learn where this king was to be born. They explained to Herod and the three wise men that the prophets foretold the coming of a ruler from Bethlehem who would shepherd the people of Israel. Herod sent the three on their way after asking them to return once they had found the young child, so that Herod might learn where he was. Shortly after leaving Jerusalem, the angel reappeared again as a star and guided them to Bethlehem, to the exact place where Jesus was born. As the star appeared directly above the manger where Jesus lay, the three wise men became convinced that this child was divine, and so they offered to him valuable gifts suitable for God and not just an earthly king. God appeared to the three in a dream to warn them not to return to Herod, and so they went back to their own country another way. 40 days after Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to make a sacrifice in keeping with the law. The law required the parents and the recently born child to be purified. Since Mary conceived her child by the Holy Spirit, she remained perfectly pure. So while she did not need to be purified, she did so as an act of obedience to God. And Jesus, being the Son of God who gave the law to Moses in the first place, did not need to be purified or presented to the temple in keeping with the law, but he did it to be completely obedient to God the Father. Even as an infant, Jesus began through obedience to heal our human nature that was corrupted through disobedience. After Joseph, Mary, and Jesus left the temple, God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream who told him to flee with his family into Egypt because Herod would seek to destroy Jesus. So they left in the night and departed for Egypt. After a while, when Herod realized the wise men were not returning to him, he became angry and sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. The soldiers slaughtered all the male children who were 2 years or younger, but Jesus was not among them because the Holy Family had already gone. The massacre of these innocents was foretold by a prophet. After a few years, when Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were living in Egypt, when Jesus was still a young child, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him all those who wanted to kill Jesus were dead. So Joseph took Mary and Jesus back into the land of Israel. But when they arrived in the general area, God told Joseph in a dream to settle in the region of Galilee and the city of Nazareth. And so Jesus grew up in Nazareth and matured according to his human nature while remaining unchanged in his divine nature. In his divine nature, he was the creator and Lord of all. And in his human nature, he willfully subjected himself to his parents in accordance with the law. When humanity was ready, God called a prophet named John out of the wilderness to an area near Jerusalem to ready the Jewish people to receive their Messiah as foretold by earlier prophets. He preached to them saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He baptized in the river Jordan the people with water for the remission of their sins. He told the Jewish leaders that a greater one than he will come to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus, who was now 30 years old, came to John at the River Jordan to be baptized. John recognized him and resisted a little, saying Jesus should instead baptize him. However, Jesus convinced John to proceed. When Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, all the heavens, including the intelligible realm, were open to him. While they were always open to him in his divinity, the intelligible realm that was closed to humans now became open to him alone in his humanity. And then John saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove to rest on Jesus. While the Holy Spirit has always rested in the Son of God, the Holy Spirit was then revealed to human beings that it rests on Jesus, who is the Son of God. And then a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice from the Father bore witness, together with the Holy Spirit who descended like a dove, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Through this event, the one God was revealed as three divine persons to humanity. And also through this act of God, the grace of the Son, of his Father, and of the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the baptismal water, such that when it touched those baptized later, following Jesus' example, they would be divinely regenerated and mystically renewed and born again, not according to the old Adam in the flesh, but of the new Adam, Jesus Christ, in spirit, and so have God's blessing as one of God's children through Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, went into the wilderness and ate nothing for 40 days. Satan had already discovered that the Son of God now had a human body. He had not dared to attack the Son of God before he had taken on flesh and had become capable of suffering. But now Satan saw the Son of God weakened by bodily hunger after his 40-day fast. So it was then that Satan came and attacked Jesus in the wilderness. Satan tempted Jesus with earthly pleasure and power, and to act according to his own will apart from the Father's will. But against each temptation, Jesus remained sinless and completely obedient to his Father. And so Satan withdrew in defeat and shame. Through these actions, Jesus taught us the power of fasting as a means to overcome the attacks of the adversary.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, in the same tone.
Now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
The prophecy.
The prophecy.
Of all the prophets is fulfilled.